Mr. Talk, and it's Mad Monday in the house. Mad Monday is here, the start of another week. So I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend, and you got many blessings, and everything went well. Hello, Antoinette. Antoinette is in the chat room already, ready to handle things for me. That's what I'm talking about right there. Man, I tell you, we have a show for you today. I mean, I know it's Mad Monday, and I try and let you know, if you call in and you have something you want to talk about, that's no problem. I would love to hear it. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622. You can email me, ericglesstalk@gmail.com, or join us in our chat room where we always have a very interesting conversation. And that's, you get there by going www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And those are all the ways you can participate on the show. Now, today on the show, you know, until someone calls in with something a little bit different, I got a few things I'd like to talk about. You know, one is going to be military hairstyles, and the other one is going to be this young man that's being pressured to take a plea bargain for getting caught drinking tea. So, yeah, we're gonna talk a little bit about that. And then, of course, y'all know the big news on the plane. You know, we're going to get into that a little bit also. So those are the three things I'm talking about. You know, I don't know about anybody else, but that's what we're going to be talking about. Like I said, it's Mad Monday, so if you're mad about something that went on over the weekend, the NCAA tournament, you stubbed your toe or whatever, today is your day. You know, there is no problem. The topic is yours. The floor is yours. All they do is call in and let us know. That's all you got to do. Just call in and let us know. Anyway, so other than that, that's what we got going on. And we may touch a little bit on what we talked about last week. I don't know. But we'll see where that goes. You know, but anyway. Oh, man, I'm telling you, every time you think winter is gone, boy, there's a cold blast that comes through and just remind you of what's going on. What is up with that? No, some say it's because of global warming. And let me ask y'all another question. Am I the only one who's noticing their show is a lot of stuff floating out there in the ocean? You know, I know we're hoping that it's from planes, but I don't know. There's a lot of stuff floating out there in that ocean. Now, I heard an explanation earlier today on the BBC network, you know, explaining, you know, there sometimes ships sink in that area, and sometimes cargo containers fall off the ships. You know, so it's very interesting. Now, I just find it, you know, I know we're looking for what they're looking for, a plane. I know this. But, dang, you know, it shows a lot of stuff floating out there that they may think be debris, that when it comes out, it's gone. But I don't know, man. I think we're going to have to do better on it. It may be too late to do better, actually, though. But hopefully we can make something happen, because that's just too much stuff out there floating around. Just too much stuff out there floating around. That's all I got to say. Oh, Lord have mercy. Anyway, so that's all I want to talk about that right off the bat. And, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, there was this big announcement today that basically the Malaysian Airlines has come to the conclusion, because AAIB, British Investigation Service, you know, use a technique that had never been used before. So with this new information, they have decided to go ahead and declare flight MH370 lost. Now, when we say lost, that means it went down. No survivors, as far as they can tell. You know, and that's sad. It really is. But you have to look at it like this. It's been 3 weeks since this plane completely disappeared, you know. And I think, do you think it was right for them to go ahead and say the plane was lost? I think it, and my opinion is, I think it was done because the families needed some closure, and the just sitting and waiting was just a little bit too much. So I'm going to put this question out there. Do you think the Malaysian government did the right thing by going ahead and declaring flight MH370 lost? You know, let me know what you think. Now, as far as this technique, you know, I... You know, it's just one of those things that just, but I was lucky enough to hear sort of an explanation as to what this stuff was that they did. And I'm going to play this little short clip right here. And this is from the BBC network. Okay. And they're explaining, you know, the technique and the calculations that they use to finally decide that this plane went down in the south, in the Indian Ocean, a very remote part of the Indian Ocean, by Perth. So let me go ahead and play this clip.
Completely unique, different kind of modeling, so they can pin down better where this aircraft had flown. Because obviously they're the company that gave us those two corridors, north and south, initially. And what they've had to do is they've had to go back and look at data from lots of other aircraft that were flying around at the time. It goes into a level of technology that's probably beyond me. But effectively they're saying they've recrunched the numbers. It took them several days to come up with this new system so they can pin down, did it go north? Did it go south?
So this is based on a mathematical formula, not on any signal itself, because those two systems, communication systems on board the flight, I understood, have been turned off.
Yeah, they have, but what, the systems have been turned off, but the pinging hasn't. So effectively, when you're not using your phone and you're not texting anyone, when your phone's making that funny noise and you leave it by a loudspeaker, that's all happening automatically. It's checking in with your phone to check it's there. That's what this system was doing with the aircraft. The aircraft wasn't communicating with it other than a simple, yes, I'm here. But that's what these pings were. And what they've been able to do, they tell me, just through going back, looking at all the data they've got,
reanalyzing it, you know, rubbing their heads together and thinking, how can we get a better fix on this? They've come up with a system which they then gave to the AAIB, who are the British investigators, their investigators, yesterday. I don't know what time yesterday. They had to go over it all again, you know, corroborate the figures and so on, check they were happy with it, because obviously you don't want something like this coming out unless you're absolutely cast iron sure. And they said, right, it flew south.
But we still don't know quite what happened on board, do we? We're not going to find that out for some time until the black box is
found. We may never know. That's the horrible truth of this. If they can't find the aircraft, and you can't get those black boxes, they record what the pilots were saying to each other, and they record what the aircraft was doing, it's very possible you'll never get the full story. When the French Air France 447 went down over the Atlantic, there was some technical data just days afterwards. It took them 2 years to find the bulk of the aircraft and get those black boxes, and it was only when you could hear what the pilots were saying to each other in those fateful moments when the aircraft was stalling that they really put the full picture together. So for 2 years we didn't know, and they were lucky to find that aircraft. It came down on a flat piece of seabed. It's very possible, unfortunately, that they'll never find the bulk of this aircraft.
That was Richard Westcott, our transport correspondent. You can read more of his analysis and get further reaction to the latest developments on the search for the missing plane on the BBC News website. There is a live page there that's pulling together the very latest information as we get it. If you've just joined...
All right, and that was the clip from the BBC network explaining how this theory, this new theory came and calculations came about as far as MH370. All right, so now it's time to bring my wonderful co-host in, and I know y'all talking why he played a clip first, because I wanted y'all to hear that and get that on your mind. You know, who knows, I may play it again, but we'll see. But it's interesting, I think it is, that, well, let me bring my co-host in, then we'll continue to discuss it. Hello, beautiful co-host, how you doing today?
I'm good, Mr. Talk. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
How was your weekend? You
know, my weekend was outstanding. Outstanding. I really can't complain. I got to watch NCAA basketball.
All right.
Yeah. You know, my team's still in it, so I'm not complaining. But, you know, the clip. What do you think about that clip right there? Do you think it was...
I hope you play it over, because I really couldn't hear it.
Okay. Well, it's kind of rough. Yeah, it's kind of rough because I was recording it as I was driving off the BBC network, so it may be a little noisy. And I do apologize for that. But what do you think? You think the Malaysian government did the right thing by going ahead and declaring the plane lost?
I think the government does what they do, and that's all I think about what governments do. You know, I mean, right thing, wrong thing, like you said, you know, the family, or somebody said in the chat room, you know, the family, maybe it was you. Of course, you know, they want closure, but, you know, if there's something, unsavory about what's going on, the government's going to do what they want to do. Whether I say it's right or wrong, it's really irrelevant what I think about whether it's right or wrong. I think. I'm not trying to be smart. That's just how I feel about it.
Okay. All right. I hear you. Oh, man. I mean, that's got to be a hard decision. It's been 3 weeks. You still
hard
have to find...
Huh? Hard for who? Government? Are you kidding me?
No. The hard on the families. The families.
Well, you
that
said it had
to
be a hard decision. The family didn't make the decision. The government, whoever released the information, made the decision. So who was the decision hard on? PR department?
No. The decision had to be... Okay, the waiting itself had to be hard on the family. Okay? Now, with that being said... You know, to make that decision, you know, that had to be a hard too, though, I would think. You know,
hard
you just,
for whom, Mr. Talk?
Hard
for whom?
Hard for the investigators and the Malaysian government.
Give me a break. They have PR departments. They do whatever they're told. They just follow orders.
Well, yeah, that's true too. But still, somebody had to make this decision and say, okay, look, we got to just say the plane is lost. You know, they saying that, and you got these all these families out here with just a smither of hope, you know, and you just basically dashed them with that, you know? So is that a, I mean, you know, that's why I say that's kind of a hard decision for anybody to make. I don't care if you're being told or you told they told somebody to do it, it's still a hard decision.
Well, especially, I say that, you know, it's, I know it's been hard on the family, and my heart goes out to them sincerely. So I don't want to come off like I'm being callous or anything like that, because, you know, that is a very, very distressing thing for them to lose their loved ones. So, I want to qualify that, because I'm not being insensitive to that pain. But when you say that was a hard decision for the government to make and for whoever else was following orders, they just follow orders, Mr. Shaw. Now, you know that.
Even if you follow orders, you don't think you there was some reservation about doing this? About doing
How would I know, Mr. Talk?
Okay, look. Okay. If it was you, would that be a hard decision for you to make?
It wouldn't be my decision. If I worked in the whatever department there was, the orders come from above to release information as the government or whoever's in charge decides what information is going to be released, whether it's lies, most of the time it is lies nowadays, or not. So I don't know how the people, if they have a heart, if they have empathy, if they have concern for other human beings, perhaps it was a heartbreaking thing for them to be able to have to announce that they are declaring the plane and the lives lost. Maybe that brought some sadness to them if they're human beings and they care about other people. I don't know. I don't even know what department is responsible for releasing that information. I do know the order comes from above down to the lower levels. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, this was the prime minister making the announcement, though.
Okay,
just
that's from the top.
Yeah, that's from the top.
Prime minister got somebody on top of him, Mr. Talk.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'm not.
if this has to do with foreign, you know, this deal that's going on, if this has anything to do with the foreign policies of other nations, the prime minister didn't make that decision by himself. He probably got a call from the Vatican or somewhere, or the Knights of Malta, or the Jesuits, whoever. I don't know.
All right. Well, whoever gave him the call, I think that was a hard decision to make. Let's just put it that way. Let's just put it that way. Ooh,
look,
Lord,
at,
have mercy.
Look at you. You got me all stirred up over here.
we're going to touch on this a little bit again in a little while. But that's just an opening conversation. You know, we're trying to do what we do. Get everybody ready to go. All right, y'all. All right.
I'm ready.
Now are you ready? We didn't got everybody stirred up a little bit. So now what we're going to do, we're going to calm you down with some good music. Yeah, buddy.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Divine Design says she agree with you. Okay. That's all right. It's okay. Y'all can be against me today. All right. All right.
Now
without further ado.
I'm sorry, Mr. I didn't mean to talk over you.
Oh, it's okay. I know y'all not against me. Yeah, you know, that's the beauty of this show. Everybody can say what they think, and nobody gets upset about it. Well,
right.
Most of
you
it.
Got
anyway.
A co-signer last time we, you got a co-signer last time we disagreed in the chat room, so today I got a co-signer.
There
ah,
you go.
Ha
ah. Ah, ha. Okay.
Divine sign.
All right. Vorpal Bite 2. Okay, I ain't never heard of that one. Welcome to the show. All right, y'all. Without further ado, here it is, your Monday Music Mix.
Wake up!
All right, y'all. That was your Monday Music Mix. And the director took us on a ride. I don't know where that ride was taking us, but she took us on one on that one. Hey, we had the Imagine Dragons, Radioactive, Alex, Claire, Too Close, and The Cure, Love Song. I don't know what kind of love song that was, but, whoo, Lord. But anyway, that was your music mix. Some of y'all may realize that stuff out there. Yeah, but as far as music, I don't know what that was. All right. So we have that out of the way. And let's see, we already got some, got a good conversation going in the chat room. But before we go any further, y'all know what we have to do. We have to go ahead and get our quote of the day out of the way. So without further ado, y'all, oh, man, that's what I didn't do today. All right. Hold on, wait a bit. All right, without further ado, here's Sister Ngoni with your quote of the day. Okay. I can't go there.
Love is a state of being. Your love is not outside. It is deep within you. You can never lose it, and it cannot leave you. It is not dependent on some other body, some external form. You are the universe. You aren't in the universe. That quote is by Eckhart Tolle.
All right. Woo, love is a state of being. Your love is not outside. It is deep within you. You can never lose it. It cannot leave you. It is not dependent on some other body, some external form. You are the universe. You aren't in the universe. Wow. Eckhart Tolle. Now, that's a whole, man, that's a good one. You know, that's a good one there. You know, if you carry yourself as the universe, then you're right. You can't lose anything. You can't lose that love inside you, right? Because you are the force. The force is in you, within you, and you control it. It doesn't control you. That's my take on it anyway. But let me ask my co-host, because she may have a different point of view. Co-host, what you think about that?
Terms of control, I would say, as opposed to being in control of it, you are being it. It's about being, not controlling. You know, we just had a 3-day talk about narcissism. Narcs, they like to control and dominate. This is not about controlling. It's about being.
Being. Okay. I like that. It's about being. Now, when you say being, you're going to have to break it down a little bit more. When you say, what do you mean by being?
Being that.
Okay. You lost me. I'm lost on this one. You usually I have something to say, but yeah, I lost this one.
Okay, Mr. Talk, you talked about controlling it.
Uh-huh.
Juxtapose
right.
That with being it. As opposed to controlling something, you're being that something. As opposed to trying to control your happiness, you're being happy. You are happiness. You're not trying to control it. You're not trying to find it. You're not trying to force it on somebody or make it. You're just being happy. Same thing with being loved. You either are or you're not. We got a comment in the chat room. War Pal Bite says he was listening. He was come hoping for some political talk. We're going to get there, whoever you are out there. But he says he ain't got no love, ain't no love in me. I am all about hate as long as these liberals, the country is poisoned. Well, War Pal Bite, they're not really liberals. They're posing as liberals. They're Nazis.
All righty then. Continue on. I'm going to hear the rest of this. Go ahead. Y'all, it's Mad Monday, so the topic is up in the air. Whatever y'all want to talk about. So I'm listening now. You say they're Nazis?
Yeah, they're liberal, and they've twisted it around to be something other than what it really means. That's what they do. They do the same thing with words in the dictionary, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They do the same thing with the diagnostical statistical manual. They change words when it's convenient for them to frame the discussion and to control the narrative. So these bleeding heart liberals, quote, liberals that are posing as liberals today, they come and say nice things like, for remember, Obama said change. He gave the population a blank slate. Nobody bothered to ask what kind of change he was talking about. And so they just wrote on a blank page what they wanted to hear. What they wanted to think in their mind. So that's what I mean by bleeding heart liberals. They're posing as liberals, but they have a neocon Nazi agenda, and we see it at work all around us.
Hmm. But when you say that's all politicians in general, though, and they just come up with these little, names just to have a name, but in all honesty, they're all on the same team.
Well, I think they're all on the same team, and most of them are being blackmailed by something. You don't get in those positions unless Israel has some dirt on you. They already, you know, got the dirt on you, and then they put you in the position because they have something to control you with, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So to make a general statement that all politicians are that way, I'm sure there's probably a lot of people that go into politics with an open heart and with the intention of making change, positive change, and so forth. But once they get in there, they find out the system is corrupt to the core, and they're pretty much controlled, you know, after that point, if they want to keep breathing.
Hmm.
I mean, don't forget, when Obama was first initiated, it wasn't too long after that, they claim he was playing basketball. he got shook up a little bit, remember? And don't forget, they said Bush swallowed a pretzel. That was probably the CIA briefing them about who's really in charge.
Wow. Okay. That's a
just my opinion, you know, just
that's
all
your opinion.
Whatever's worth.
You know,
that's just my worldview.
That's a very interesting opinion for sure. You know, mm-hmm. some would say that's more conjecture or conspiracy than actual fact.
Well, you know, I told you about my new definition of conspiracy theorist, one who questions known liars. Now, Hillary just got released from the mental institution. They claim she fell down and hit her head. Ha, 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 yeah, right.
Okay. And what do you think Hillary did?
I'm sorry?
I said, and what do you think happened to Miss Hillary?
What do I think happened to her?
Yeah.
Oh, she probably was debriefed just like Obama and Bush was debriefed about whatever's going on.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
I mean, you know, I mean, come on, Mr. Talk. I mean, these people don't control anything. These people are just functionaries. You have seen the diagram of the pyramid and the all-seeing eye, the 300 families that rule the world and so forth and so on. You know about the Vatican City and the City of London and the District of Criminals. Sovereign cities that are the ones that pull the strings around the world as far as the 180 nations that they have 700 bases located in, but they don't have any money to feed starving children. Wow. How about that? They got money for war, but they, you know, don't, they seem to be crying about people needing a little help with their heating oil in the harsh wintertime.
Mm.
They got bridges falling down. Infrastructure's crumbling.
You are absolutely right. Absolutely right. But hold on, we got somebody with their hand up. But before I let them in, here's another thing I'm going to bring to the forefront. You know, with this thing with Russia, okay, why haven't we heard anything from Israel? Or is Israel not even a player in this right now? Are you there? Uh-oh.
I muted myself because I was typing.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I didn't hear you.
I say when it comes to Russia and this sanctions and all this thing that's going on, why haven't we heard anything from Israel, or Israel is not a part of what's going on right now? So they just sitting back and watching.
Oh, don't fool yourself. Israel is always a part of what's going on, okay?
Hmm. Okay. Well, in this instance, I guess they're doing it under the table then. They're not out in the forefront.
Well, don't assume that just because you haven't seen anything on the Lane Street News about it.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. Well, I ain't seen anything on the other news either about it. But hold on.
You know what?
Off. Yes.
I was reading an article on globalresearch.canada, and they pointed out that these sanctions, well, you know they're hypocritical. I mean, the rest of the world is asking the question, why don't they put sanctions on the United States? Everybody knows they're the biggest purveyor of violence around the globe. And we don't make anything anymore, so boy, they put a real hurt on the United States if they put sanctions on the United States, wouldn't they?
No, because it would never happen.
Well, never is a long time. Let me tell you something. Nobody's buying the Federal Reserve's Treasury bonds. They're dumping them. So don't say never.
Well, you know, in 1971, you know, Richard Nixon said they will defend this currency no matter what. So, you know, and he meant it, and that has been going on all since then. So,
well,
yeah, I don't think – you know what?
Wait, may I respond, please, before you go further?
Okay, go ahead.
In 1971, this was a totally different world. The rest of the nations looked up to the United States. Now the rest of the nations see the hypocrisy going on with the United States. This is a whole different environment now.
I understand that, but last week, did we have this conversation that said when people decide they want to move away from the United States currency or separate themselves from Big Brother United States, it always ends up that either war starts or in some kind of way it rolls right back to America where it's supposed to be, right?
You made the statement that in 1971, what happened?
Right.
I simply brought it up today, the present moment,
right.
and pointed out the conditions in the world have changed since 1971 because the eyes of other people in the world have been opened, and they're making moves to back that awareness up. Like, for instance, the Shanghai Cooperation, which has India, South Africa, Russia, and other nations that are trading amongst themselves in their own currencies. Now, let me remind you that this whole thing started with Saddam Hussein when he wanted to sell his oil in euros. That's the reason why they lynched him. And then they went on to Gaddafi, and they've been threatening Iran and so forth because Iran opened up their own oil burst, remember? And they said they were open for business for other countries to trade in their own currencies. So now you have the Shanghai Cooperation. And you have other blocks developing, and so therefore the United States is being isolated. So you can talk tough like, you know, yeah, everybody knows the United States has been the big bully on the block, but they're broke, Eric. You can't have – they're broke, okay? And the dollar is losing its power in the world. It's not the petrol dollar that it used to be. It's not the petrol dollar anymore. And it's losing its power as the world reserve currency.
Okay, now I understand that, but here's my thing. If I'm the big bully and I'm broke going to school and I know if somebody else got a whole lot of lunch money, I'm taking their lunch money and daring them to do anything about it.
Okay, you know, the whole different setup as far as I'm concerned is not the same thing as bullying in the schoolyard that we're talking about.
Honestly, it is. If you really want to talk about it.
All right, that's fine. I've given my point of view.
Hold on, let me bring this caller in right here. They had their hand up pretty patiently. Hello, 111. How are you doing today? Who I have on this line?
Good afternoon. It's Beasley. I'm sitting here trying to make some sense out of what I'm hearing Sister Ngonye saying. And
so you're going to start? Are you going to start?
I'm going to deal with some facts.
Framing? Are you going to start the neuro-linguistic anchoring and framing?
I'm going to deal with some facts.
How are you doing today? How are you doing today?
I already answered that. I'm doing fine.
Good.
Now,
well,
I don't know what evidence. Can I speak?
I'll state them. Right now,
I called in to speak, and you're talking.
I'm expressing my opinion. You're demanding facts. I have an opinion.
I didn't ask you for facts. I'm going to list some facts.
Okay, go right ahead.
Now, I don't know what evidence that you have that the Knights of Malta or the Vatican speaks to the Prime Minister of Malaysia before he makes this statement that the plane crashed in the water. I don't know what evidence you have to back up that Hillary Clinton left a mental hospital or that Bush choked on a pretzel and that Obama was playing basketball and these were all signals from the CIA or some higher-ups to get them in line. And the fact is that the dollar is still the world's reserve currency. It is still all oil transactions that take place on the open market in the world, which is billions of dollars a day, are transacted in dollars.
Are you complete? Are you complete? I guess you are, since you're not speaking. Okay. What I mentioned about Hillary Clinton was reported in the news. I saw that reported.
You just believe every single thing that comes out there.
Excuse me, I didn't interrupt you. I am responding to you.
And bye. Bye. Go ahead and talk.
You, goodbye.
I don't want to hear you bump your gums. You sounding crazy.
You know what?
You
don't have to.
I know I don't.
All right. Enough. Okay, well, he dropped. Okay. Wow. Y'all got heated early. That I'm talking about.
That's called neuro-linguistic anchoring and redirecting. That's what that's called. Neuro-linguistic programming.
Alrighty then. Alrighty. Well, y'all see what politics do? Anybody else want to talk politics, give us a call. 347-838-8622. Oh, man. Today is Mad Monday, so whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to call in with, hey, bring it. We're willing to talk about it.
It's Mad Monday. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not taking it anymore.
Okay. All right. Hold on. We got another head up. Oh, man. Boy, y'all making this Monday all right. All right, 111. Welcome to the show. What you got for me?
My call got disconnected. I was hung up on.
Okay.
She hung up on me because I'm disagreeing with her.
Wait. She didn't hang up on you now. Don't say that.
I'm telling you it was disconnected. I don't have to lie.
It was the conservative people that hanging up on you. But anyway, go on. What did you have
and
to
liberal,
say?
And liberals are Nazis. Liberals are taking over other countries and putting people in concentration camps.
Well,
see, he
said
it again.
Okay,
no,
hold on,
you
hold
say
on.
Outrageous things, and they need to be challenged.
You said you didn't want to hear me bump my gums. So
I don't.
Okay, wait a minute. Stop. Whoa. All right, hold on. All right, now. Woo! Okay. Mr. Beasley, you have heard Sister Ngoni and with her statements and remarks. What evidence do you have to refute what she was saying, or reboot, whatever you want to call it?
The dollar is the world's reserve currency when it comes to trading oil. She says that it's not, and that it's losing, power in that. That's not true. It's just not true. I don't see any evidence that liberals are Nazis.
Does the fact that you don't see the evidence mean it's not so, Mr. Beasley?
Well, I know what Nazis did, and I don't see liberals doing that. Because you read something on a blog somewhere.
You don't know what I read or where I read anything. I'm giving my political perspective and worldview.
You talk like a crazy woman.
You like it, that's your damn problem.
And now you're getting all
right
upset like you did
if
last
you don't
time
like it,
because no one can disagree
okay,
with you because you're a narcissist.
Hold on. Whoa.
You have to go.
All right. You know what? There it is right there. I continue on while they discuss this in the green room. All right. Anyway, what's really going on, man? I'm telling you. Whoo! Politics. Politics always do you wonderful things, huh? I'm telling you, politics get the sanest person upset. That's why they call it politics, y'all. But anyway, let's move away from politics for a moment, all right? Maybe we'll come back on that. personally, I think, no, I ain't moving away from it. We're going to continue to talk about this thing. I think that the dollar is still, for many countries, the reserve currency, if not the main currency. But like I was trying to get Michael to understand last week, it was simple. You know, even though the dollar is losing its currency, you can spend the dollar in any country you go to. But they can't come here and spend their currency in the United States. You know, so that basically means, look, right now, even though it's losing value, it's still the main currency around the world. And now, of course, that is my opinion, but yes, that's the way I think about this thing.
What they mean by world reserve currency, Mr. Talk, okay, it primarily deals with the trading in oil, which trillions of dollars transact in oil on a regular basis. All it's saying is this, is that in order for China, in order for India, in order for any of these countries to buy oil on the open market, okay, that they have to convert their currency into dollars. That's
mm-hmm.
all it means. That's what mm-hmm. it means is the world's reserve currency.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. So where does the gold come in at?
The gold has really nothing to do with any of that. The gold is a commodity. It's a store of value, but none of these currencies are backed up by gold. Any of these currencies, whether it be the rupee in India, whether it be the yuan in China, or the ruble in Russia, or the dollar in the United States, they're not backed up by gold. Gold has no. That's what a fiat currency means. That's what the
mm-hmm.
term fiat currency means.
Mm.
It's like,
okay.
you can continue to write checks even though there's no money in the account because you have the paper checks.
Right.
And
right.
what those currencies are backed up by, what the United States is backed up by, is the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, which has the ability to tax people.
Mm. Yeah. The tax people. Woo.
Right.
Boy, I tell you. You know, and I've been trying to find it, and maybe you being the scholar that you are, you can tell me, where is it that says we have to pay taxes?
Oh, I don't
know.
I
haven't seen it anywhere. And, you know, I have been looking because that was an interesting question that I thought about, and somebody talked about it also. I have to find the clip. But I still cannot find anything that says we are supposed to pay taxes.
Well, before you go to starting about paying taxes, Mr. Talk, I would like to interject that I was just listening to Karen Hootis, who worked for the World Bank. She's an attorney for the
mm-hmm.
World Bank. And she was just saying that we are facing very close to what's called gold backwardization, which means that if they don't stop what they're doing, we're going to go back to a time like the 300s and the 400s when we had feudalism, which is what the elites are calling for, neo-feudalism. Now, the gold is in the Philippines, and there is plenty of gold in the world. It's just that the international bankers have been leasing out gold, and that's the reason why France called for their gold back, and they have to wait 7 years before they can pay them all the way off, and they went over and attacked Mali, which is the third largest producer of gold on the continent of Africa. Now, according to her, we are going to get through this if they, for instance, stop the quantitative easing and they are dumping treasury notes or treasury bonds. The PIMCO says the bond market is about to explode, okay? So I don't know where Mr. Beasley gets off saying that, yeah, fiat currency is just paper money, but there's plenty of gold in the world to back up national currencies. It's just that the
international bankers
have gotten all the gold in their own hands, and the gold there were trusts that were left by those people in charge for the Earth's people. That gold has been confiscated by crooks, and that's what she's talking about.
Yeah, and she doesn't have a crystal, and she doesn't have a crystal ball, and she doesn't know what's going to happen in the future.
The COMEX is the gold price has been manipulated as a commodity, and the futures gold is higher than it's supposed to be for the future. So therefore, the thing that has to be done is to get these international corrupt bankers out of the way and go back to a national backing of economies in the world. Because, yes, we're on a fiat system now, but that doesn't mean there's no gold anywhere. The gold's in the Philippines.
What are you talking about? That has nothing to do with
opinion.
What I said. All I said was this.
I don't care what you said, mister.
None of the currency issued today by any country is backed up by gold. Everything else you're talking about is a big, huge circle. You've been hanging around with all facts. Sounds like you got the all
put
facts.
Put the link in the chat room to verify what I just said.
You don't have to tell me nothing. I've been dealing with this bank for 30 years.
Karen Hootis, that works for the World Bank.
She doesn't have a crystal ball to know what's going to happen in the future.
The link is in the chat room. What you're doing is using neuro-linguistic
programming. You just disagree with what
I'm saying, and I'm sick of playing your game, Mr. Beasley.
I'm not playing any damn games. There's no cyber games.
There's no chat room for anybody who's interested and anybody who's on the line.
So it's either agree with you or don't participate, right?
I don't care whether you disagree with me or not. The title is Buzzsaw, The Secret Constitution and Bank Wars with Karen Hootis. For anybody who cares
Karen
to check
Hootis
it out.
Karen Hootis doesn't know what's going to happen in the future.
I didn't say she did. You asked where I got that from, and I told you.
That has nothing to do with fiat currency, and none of the currencies issued today is backed by gold. That's all
your opinion,
care.
You're entitled to
that's
it.
That's not
like
an opinion. That's a fact. That's a fact.
Facts. I said I was giving my political worldview, my opinion, along with supporting evidence from those who are in positions to know.
You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
That's another neuro-linguistic strategy to discredit.
It's not no damn strategy. It's a damn fact. You just read shit and talk and don't make no damn sense sometimes.
All right, let's see. From what I found, there's the top 10 nations stockpiling gold, all right? And some of these are well-known and some of them are interesting. Number 10 is India. 9, the Netherlands. Number 8, Japan. 7, Russia. 6, Switzerland. 5, China. 4, France. 3, Italy. 2, Germany. And the number 1 country, the United States of America. But then again, you know, that's amazing. Gold. I think gold is playing a big part of this. Let's see. What we're going to do right now, we're going to go to a commercial, and when we come back, we're going to conversation. Because I want to talk about the military. Yeah, we're going to talk about the military and their different haircut standards that they have recently put out. All right, see you in about 2 minutes.
Annoying letters in the mail 10 days later, we can help you straighten out those problems with your credit. It doesn't matter if it's late payment, bankruptcy, collections, and more. At United Credit Education Services, we guarantee to have you straightened out in as little as 45 days. Give us a call at 580-678-8257. Ask for Dorsetta. or go to www.myfes.net/ddavis23. That's www.myfes.net/ddavis23.
All right, all right. You want your credit straightened out? Hey, give Dorsett a call. All right, we're back. We are back. Man, I tell you. Whew, we have some comments in the chat room I want to read. Let's see. If quit jumping fast enough. I am the universe says the return German gold is not the same gold bars that was originally deposited. Valpalbite 2 says Americans and politics are at loggerheads. They don't even want to work out the problems. This country is headed straight for a civil war. It doesn't matter. It is still not the same gold that it was deposited. You know what? Okay. I don't know about the gold bars as not being the same as deposited, because maybe it's not. But as far as this country heading for a civil war, that's a possibility. That is a big possibility. I don't know, though. Yeah, I do know. It's going to end up that way. But that's what the heads want. The elite want. They want us to have another civil war. Just so, once again, they can separate the elite from the poor, because there is no middle class. You know? So that's what all I'm saying to about that. Sister Ngoni, anything you want to add? Oh.
I'm here.
I say, is there anything you want
to
add?
To what?
To this thing about this country is headed toward a civil war?
No, I don't have any comment about that. But I would like for you to go over the rules. There will be no personal attacks. Now, if somebody has a different opinion than me, I respect that. And I have a right to be respected for my opinion, whether you agree with it or not. I could care less.
All right, no personal attacks, none whatsoever. We encourage everybody to talk. We encourage everybody to call in and give us your opinion. When I say no personal attack, don't attack the person. You attack the topic. You attack what they said, but do not attack them personally. All right, no talking over each other and no long-winded speeches. Okay, that's what we got going on. So those are the rules. All right. Now, let's talk about this military thing for a hot minute. Now, the military has decided they're going to upgrade or revise AR-670-1. For those that aren't military-minded, I'm going to tell you, that's the manual that states how uniform is worn, how your haircut should be, medals and things of that nature. Okay, so basically, that's your Bible for how to dress in the military. Well, you know, and don't get me wrong, I do agree with some of it, like no tattoos around the neck. You know, that's good. No more than 2 tattoos can be seen on your arm and short sleeve. That's a good one too. But now here's where I have a problem at. They have basically come on and said men can have basically just a flat top, or not even flat top, or what we call a high tight or very low haircut. That's basically all the men can have. All right. But yet, we still have women walking around in uniform with braids so high and wrapped up in a bun that their headgear does not fit properly. So my question is that really fair to the males to limit how they can wear their hair and just let the ladies continue just to do what they wanted to? You know? And I think that is really, really not a fair thing to do. And to add to it, you know, a couple of years ago, there was the push to have the young ladies, once they turn 18, to sign up for the selective services. They did. But since then, it has died down, and you have heard, you haven't heard anything else about it. Why is that? You know, but yet all our young men at the age 18 are required to sign up. So why is it one thing for the men and something different for the women? I'm just asking a question, y'all, because I just want to know. Am I the only one that's seeing there's something something that's missing, that you know, there's just something else going on? Is that a fair thing to do, to have one standard for one person and a standard for the other? Of course, you know, the politicians have it. You know, they got their standards, then they got the standards for the people they're supposed to be standing up for. Let's see, the government has their different standard from everybody else. So I guess it just, you know, falls in line with everything else. However, it's not right. That's all I'm going to say. It's not right. Hey, did I hear you then? You there?
I'm here.
You there? Okay. I thought I heard somebody mumble for a hot minute. But
did you ask a question?
Huh?
Did you ask a question?
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah, is it right that the military have one set of rules for men as far as their hair requirements and a different set of rules for the women?
Well, I've never been in the military. I don't know anything about being in the military, so I don't have an opinion on the military.
Oh, okay. Vapar Bike 2 says, the military is functional. Does women hairstyle really matter? Well, yes, it does. And here is the reason why. If you have a certain hairstyle and you go to put on your protective mask, or for you civilians, gas mask, it will not fit right. Okay, I'm just going to put it out there. It will not fit right. No way, no how. You know, it will not seal because your hair is just not right. All right? You know, Dini, oh, Lord, here we go. We got gays in the military. That's slightly more important than hairstyle. Why? Why? You may have a gay person sit right next to you. How would you know? See, and see, here we go. Here we go. Here we go with this nonsense. Why are you worrying about a gay being in the military? Huh? Because when the bullets fly, they're going to be shooting the same direction as you. You know, I mean, so what is the issue? What is the issue? See, I think a lot of y'all out there, y'all just get stuck on that word gay. You know, back in the day, you know what gay stood for? Happy. Happy. That's what gay stood for. You know, I'm not condoning being gay, but heck, if we in a foxhole together or stuck on a highway for 2 hours in the middle of a firefight, I'm not thinking whether he gay or not. The only thing I'm thinking about is he shooting the same direction I am so we can get our butts off the highway. You know, yes, I know what the Bible calls them. I'm quite aware of what the Bible says about them. You know? Okay, you got to go. But, you know, you just have to, you know, some of y'all are just narrow-minded people. You know, you're just narrow-minded. You know, I'm just saying. You know, it's nothing new that gays been in the military since the military started. You know, oh, it's a big thing now just because they said they can be it and it's a law and they not hiding it anymore, right? Right. And here go another one. Can't win no war with homos. Yeah, well, General Custer was a homo. Y'all congratulate him. Let me stop. But look. Just like this, man. When you're in a foxhole and bullets are flying, ain't nobody thinking about no sexuality. Ain't nobody thinking about anything like that. Okay? You know, it is that, in that instance, they're a soldier just like you, and they trying to defend whatever it is you're supposed to be defending and bring you behind home. That's it. So stop playing this little crazy game about the military is ruined because we got gays in the military. That is just nonsense. You know, and like I said, gays been in the military since the military been around. Some of your your big stars that were in the military were gay. But see, y'all don't want to talk about that. Only thing y'all worried about is now. And it really matters now, right? All right. I tell you what. Get in a foxhole with one, and when the bullets start flying, ask, let me see if you're going to worry about that. Oh, you got to go for real. Oh, you got to go for real. I know you just say that. Bye-bye. Oh, no. Hey.
Bye-bye.
That was not a nice thing there. Woo. Just strike that from the court, the table. Man, I can't believe he even said that. Anyway, so homosexuals, unmarried, pregnant women, and being on the public dole is a disgrace. Okay, what is the public dole? I'm reading these comments out of the chat room. What is a public dole? You know, they are not shunned. They ought to be shunned, not tolerated. What if you're not the best looking person out there, viable bike, and on welfare? Okay, that public dole mean welfare. What if you're not the best looking thing around, and people all of a sudden start shunning you? Would you like that? You know, like I said before, you know, I don't understand what y'all be thinking, man. What are y'all doing out there?
Gary.
Yes.
That's part of getting the psyche of the village ready for the kill. The America's Darkest Secret document explains all of that. It's the meme is set out by the lamestream media over a period of years. The divisions are cemented. And, you know, the agenda moves forward and people pretend like they can't see it because, you know, they're invested in maintaining their perspective. That's how it works.
Okay.
Now, we have a comment in the chat room that somebody doesn't understand because they were not given a moral upbringing. Well, you see, there it is again, as if moral upbringing is universal. Different people have different values and principles they operate by and live in different places of the world. But see, American exceptionalism thinks that they are the world and everything they think is the way it is and supposed to be. And if you don't follow it, they'll bomb you into submission.
Okay. So you're saying bomb you into submission. Now, excuse me. Now, I'm just going to ask this question. So are you agreeing? Are you agreeing with Vapor Bite, or you disagreeing with him or her?
Of course not. I'm not agreeing with him. I'm stating that the values that American exceptionalism operates on are forced on other people around the world because they assume that values and principles are universal for everyone. For instance, the reason they're attacking is Muslim countries now is because in their religion they don't believe in usury. But in order for this monetary system to work, they have nations borrowing currency from private banking cartels at interest, which the debt is placed on the backs of the people, the laborers in those nations, to pay those debts back. But the Islam doesn't believe in usury. But they're trying to force them back on Bretton Woods.
Okay. I understand that. I understand that.
They're trying to maintain their dominance and control over the whole planet. And they have publicly stated in their white papers and said it on public places. The Queen, Prince Bernhard, have stated they want to reduce the world's population. Now, people call that a conspiracy theorist. Well, I'm sorry if you don't pay attention, if you want to live in your little bubble, your little no-hassle zone, and you are uncomfortable because of reality that's going on in this wicked world right now.
I have to agree with you on that one. This wicked world, and so is a lot of people living in their own little bubbles. I mean, these are tiny bubbles too. But yet, you know, yet they know everything, and they can tell you everything that's going on. And they the main ones that's lost. Lost in the jungle somewhere. You know? The Val Petabyte, I'm extending a invitation for you to call on the call in on the phone. All right, 347-838-8622. Come on, let us hear your voice and let you explain all this stuff you chatting in the, putting in the chat room. All right. Now he says the Quran, just like the Communist Manifesto, have the exact same goal: global conquest.
Read up. 100% correct. Conform to the rules of decent society or face the consequence. Well, let's define decent. Decent means you go all around the world stealing and killing everything you got and stole from somebody else. If you had to empty your museums, you wouldn't have anything of cultural value in them because you done stole everybody else's.
Oh, man. See, you took that from me. All right. Yeah. And you know what? You know, and everybody, you know, here's another thing. It's like this gay thing. Everybody want to jump on the Muslims and Islam. You know, oh, they want global conquest. You know, look, I'm gonna tell you straight up. One monkey does not determine the whole barrel. Okay. Contrary to what some people say, you know, just like any other way, you have the bad apples and then you have the ones that are doing what they're supposed to do. You know, for you to just be throwing stuff out that, you know, I haven't heard you say one thing about what are you doing then to make it a better place besides you criticizing everyone else, you know? Do you know why all Muslims are dangerous? No exception. Do you know why all Americans are dangerous? No exception. Now, since we just going to go there, because Islam is a collective society. Man, look. And America is some of the most spoiled, devious, conniving individuals there, societies there is. So what's your point, buddy? Get on the phones. You can chat it up in my chat room, but you ain't got no phone to call me in. I ain't talking to you no more. All right. Anyway, co-host, you got something you want to say?
I'm typing right now, and
oh,
it's for
okay.
you.
Okay. Oh, wow. You know, but if once again, I know that, you know what, and people like this, and Val, I don't even know how to pronounce your name, Val Pull Bike 2, you know, they don't have an individual vision of themselves. Even a so-called peaceful Muslim can be turned to a suicide bomber through peer pressure. Right. And your little Caucasian little boys can be turned into mass killers killing innocent kids. So what's your point, buddy? Don't play with me. Come on, man. You know, I'm really trying to be diplomatic here, but you about to make me go somewhere you don't want me to go. You know? I mean, because what you're saying is not making sense. Anybody can do anything wrong. It's in you. Now, as you put it, if you have a decent upbringing, you know the difference between right and wrong. You know, that's easy throughout the whole thing. So, you know, just to keep blaming stuff on Muslims, you're crazy as heck. You know, in fact, I was watching a show on television last night. What is the name of this show I was watching? Resurrection. And, you know, the church decided to have a emergency, speaking of church, I'll get to them in a minute, emergency board meeting, right? Now, if I'm not mistaken, Christians are supposed to be loving, understanding, you know, people. But this church group got decided, since they didn't understand where this little boy came from or who he was, they decided they didn't want him in the church. Well. What do you think about that? You know, Christians can be just as bad. Catholics, we ain't even going to talk about Catholics, all them little pedophiles up in there. You know, so should I say all priests are pedophiles now since, you know, there's been some caught? You know, can I say the Pope is up in the Vatican having little boys escorted to him? Should I say that? Huh? See, so when you go and start generalizing, putting people in generalizations like that, you have to watch what you're saying. You know, you have to watch what you're saying. But then again, you know, narrow-minded individuals like you, that's all you're going to talk about anyway, because that's all you want to know. That's all you want to know. Pick up some books, guy. Do some reading and quit typing in my chat room this nonsense. All right? That's all I'm saying. You ignore that Islam is a collective society. You know what? And they are a very close society. You're right. They take care of each other. They look out for each other. They give each other jobs. They create jobs. They school each other. They educate each other. What is wrong with that? Took a lead from them. Maybe we ought to be in a better place. So don't sit here and say just because they're a collective society, they are all evil. Get the heck out of here, man. Or lady or whatever the hell you are. You know, stop playing. Because you really haven't put up anything that legitimately is a reason for you to be knocking everybody out. Your statements show you have no knowledge, and that is not meant as criticism. Hey, you say what you want to about me. I have enough knowledge to know you talking nonsense. And the only reason why I ain't to say something else because it's my show, and I don't do all that on the show. Okay? I'm just saying. But you know what? It's okay. All right. Now, I'm through talking to you, Val Bite. You know, hey, chat room, y'all talk to him. You know, I'm through talking to him. I think I told him everything I need to tell him. May we test your knowledge of Islam. Okay, can I test your knowledge of African Americans? Now. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say. Islam is the last of the religions. Look, man. Look, you know what? Religion is what man has made it, okay? Religion is something man has come up with. That's what religion is, something man has came up with. You know, what you feel for yourself is inside. It's like my co-host said earlier today, it's what's inside you. You know, that's where your beliefs and your religion really is. This mess out here that man has made or that has decided to put a label on, whoop-dee-freaking-do. You know, I mean, really. You got goat worshippers. You got dog, cats, monkeys, you know, cows. Really? But everybody, you just want to jump on Islam. You're just a narrow-minded individual, you know? That's all I got to say. Let's see. Oh, well, I guess they still chatting around there. Woo! Chat room, what y'all think about what I'm talking about? Hey, anybody else got something they want to say contrary or agree with me? Let me know. 347-838-862. Woo! Jump in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And let's see, is there anything else? Oh, email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. You know? Woo! There you go. I know chat room going to get them in a minute. Y'all don't be afraid of them. Get him. Set them right up in there. You know, you don't let them to come to the chat room and just try and run things. Even though I know it was all about poisoning the water, but it's okay. It's okay. Woo! Oh, my goodness. Mm-mm-mm. Mm-mm-mm. Now, I guess we got something else going on over there. All right, so with that being said, let's move on to something else now. I'm tired of talking about that. You know, like Purple D said, all religions are man-made. Truth Without said, everything you know is from the civilization that the so-called so-called African brought to the world. You know. And you know what? You know, everything you're putting in here is of the negative type. It's negative, which tells me you are a negative individual. So, you know what? Screw you, man. All right, that's all I'm going to say. You know, negative vibes and vibrations are not allowed up in here, you know. And I think you need – I'm warning you, you need to change your voice before you be hearing, bye-bye. All right, I'm just telling you. All right, let me see. 111 coming in. Let me bring them in. Let's see, Mr. Joe, what's going on?
Hey, Eric. You know, my sheep are saying, where's Uncle Eric? Where's Uncle Eric?
Oh, Lord. I'll bring him some food later on, okay?
Now, you're bringing more than food, don't you?
I'm just bringing feed. That's all I'm bringing.
Okay. Hey, what's got you all up in a firestorm now? I came here about 3 or 4 minutes ago, and I hear you talking to somebody in the chat room. What's going on? I usually don't hear you get pissed off, so I'm here to make sure you stay pissed off.
You know what I say at the end of every show? Make sure you be able to laugh and laugh at yourself. That's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, you know, well, sometimes it does take that kind of tactic.
Joe, you know, and I can say you feel this way too because I've, you know, you've been with me since the show started. You know,
right there.
I hate narrow-minded individuals. You know, mm-hmm. who wants to come and place everybody in one little tiny capsule because that is what they believe, and mm-hmm. It's not right. You know.
So what's this person's accusation?
Oh, well, you know, is everyone that's Islam dangerous because they have a collective society? Gays shouldn't be in the military and some other stuff.
Gays should be in the military or should not be in the military?
They should not be in the
military. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a collective society. Okay.
Yeah. You know, and I was
I've had these arguments before. Islam is like, I'm sorry, Eric, but Islam to me is the same as Christianity. It's a religion. It has points in the Quran, just like there are points in the Bible that are very, very violent. In the Quran, they say, kill the infidel. And in the Bible, they practically say the same thing. If you're a heretic, you must be stoned to death.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as I'm concerned, Islam and Christianity are like the Democrat and the Republican Party. They are vultures of the same wing. Wings are the same vultures, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but can you, just because it says that, do you put all of them in the same boat?
That's the point I'm getting to. No,
okay,
because there are good Christians, there are bad Christians, there are good Muslims, and there are bad Muslims.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from what I've read, in some territories in the United Arab Emirates properties, their states, their provinces, they actually teach this stuff in the classroom, saying that the Quran preaches that those who are not Muslim must be killed. Now, that is something which I don't know is being preached in any Christian school. I think it's implied, but I don't think it's being taught outright. But I think it's in some Egyptian schools that if you are not a Muslim, you are somebody who should be killed by a Muslim. Now, that may be an extreme case of radical Islam. The thing is that I know a lot of good Arabs. I know some Arabs who I think, you know, are pains in the ass. In terms of the religion, again, some of it says Well, there are points in the Quran that say, you know, the infidel or somebody should be killed. But that doesn't mean that every person who's a Muslim believes that or is going to do that. And I don't even think, and I've had this kind of conversation too. Islam, Muslims, they are not the problem. It's Congress, because Islam, even they've had this war going on with Christianity for 5,000 years. So if they've been having this war against Christians, infidels, for 5,000 years, then you can't say that the Muslims, that Islam is a recent phenomenon, and they want to kill the United people of the United States because of our freedoms. If they've been doing this for 5,000 years, they've been doing this before America came along. You know?
Oh, yeah. I can't argue with that.
Huh?
I said, I cannot argue with that. You're right.
Yeah, and Christians, you know, because of the Crusades, the Christians were known, like, for example, the Spanish Inquisition, for torturing and killing the same as we accuse the Muslims of doing. I think most people, and I've already said this, and I put this on record a number of times, you know, the worst thing that could happen to the universe is if we, as a human species, actually attain the type of technology that is advanced enough to go out into the stars. Because if we do, we will conquer everything that comes across us. We are the Borg. That's exactly who we are. It won't be colonization. It will be slavery. Any civilization that we come across, in the name of adventure, in the name of exploration, if that civilization is an inferior civilization, we will conquer it in the name of democracy. We will conquer it in the name of civilized behavior. But that's the kind of people that we are as a whole. That includes Christians, Muslims, Mormons, Jews, blacks, the whites, the Chinese. That's who we are. We're a bunch of scumbags. And if we escape this fucking planet, we're going to show the universe just how much of a scumbag race we are.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think a lot the universe already knows. That's why they're not revealing themselves to us. But, you know, and, you know, you made a good point, you know, but Islam, we already know there's a radical side of Islam, you know, and that's what everybody likes to address themselves, you know, address all Muslims as being part of that radical side, which is not true. Then then you have the Christians like that, Marlboro Church that wants to protest. You know, grave sites and burials of funerals of fallen soldiers.
Right.
You know, you know, that can be considered a radical side of Christianity. And then, like I say, we're not even gonna talk about the popes and the bishops and everybody else up there having a parade of little boys going through all the time. You know what I mean? So I mean, in every so-called quote religion, there is a so-called radical section in there, but you can't put everybody in that one thing and say they all radical though. And that's what this cat was doing.
No, I agree with you. You can't make generalizations based upon the evidence that we know. There are radical extremists in every religion who will, and there are, and they will be so extreme that they will break away from the mainstream religion that they supposedly worship to formulate their own particular church. And say that, well, our particular sect, just like, what was the guy from Jonestown? Was it Jones?
Jim Jones.
I forget what particular religion he was worshiping. I think he broke away, formulated his own sect, and had his own followers, and those followers followed him blindly to the point where they swallowed the Kool-Aid.
Right.
So there is going to be an extremist part of every religion. I, however, just believe that all religions who believe in this invisible God, and I think they're wackos, okay? But to continue with this point, just because you have people who are disobeying the tenets of a religion doesn't mean that the religion itself is bad. That's not logical, because there are good priests, bad priests. the popes have a history of, you wouldn't believe, I mean, of being pedophiles and drunkards and whoring around and all that kind of good stuff. Plus, mm-hmm. they sanctioned the torture of, whatever the Crusades found, whatever people they've captured. So, but it's in and of itself, no, you're right. You can't make a generalization about a religion based upon a certain portion of the people who do not follow or who do follow certain tenets of that religion.
Hmm. That's right. And, you know, like I say, you know, it's just strange. Like he's saying, your assumptions of Islam is 100% opposite of what they teach. I encourage you to learn for yourself. See what he felt. I had a roommate when I was in the military that was Muslim, and he didn't say anything, you know, and wasn't nothing radical about him. You know, he did not at all. So, you know, that's why I say that's just nonsense, what he's talking about.
Well, he may be talking about what I've just finished saying, is that there are particular sects within the religion that do practice and do preach, kill the infidel. But that doesn't mean that's the overall thrust of the religion itself. That's just that particular sect. Again, if you go to the Quran, there will be passages in there that say, kill the infidel if he's not a follower of God. But they have that in the Bible, too.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And that kills that topic, and you have heard it from here. Okay, everybody's not fanatical, radical, crazy, shoot 'em up, kill 'em up, everybody, all right? There's a couple of things I want to talk about. And one is, I'm trying to find the story. Do you know there's a rash of people marrying their pets and animals and stuff?
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Yes.
Oh,
yes, really.
Oh, fuck.
I'm serious. There's one in California. I think he married his dog. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Oh, okay. One person.
Yeah.
It's not one person. All right.
No. It's a British woman married her dog.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh, geez.
Now, trust me, it's not recognized. It's not recognized in law by any country. But there are attempts for humans to marry animals have been recorded. On May 2010, a German married his cat while he was told by his vet that the animal would soon die. June 2013, fashion designer Karl Lagerfeld announced that he wished to marry his cat, Chopin, he said in an interview with CNN. So it ain't like he's hiding that, right?
Oh,
yeah. Let's see. June 2010, 18-year-old Indonesian man was forced to marry his cow after he was found having sex with it. The man had believed the cow to be a beautiful woman.
He then
became a widow when the cow was drowned in the sea to symbolically cleanse the village of the act of bestiality. Bestiality. Wow. In 2003, a 9-year-old Indian girl was formally married to a dog in order to ward off a bad omen. And it was attended by more than 100 guests. 2007, a man in southern India married a female dog in a traditional Hindu ceremony as an attempt to atone for stoning two other dogs to death. I mean, and it just goes on and on, man. Australia, Ghana, California, Britain, man, I'm telling you, it goes on and on. And
I didn't know it was that extensive. I thought maybe one or two nut jobs were doing it. Oh, Jesus.
Sudanese marrying goats.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What's the purpose of this?
Exactly. What is the purpose of that? You know, have we become so, what's the word I'm looking for? Immoral or just backwards that we feel that we can marry our own on what you call it? We can marry our own animals now?
Eric, can I ask you a question?
You sure cannot. Yes, you can. Go ahead. Go for it.
what do you think the result of poisoning the water, poisoning the air, genetic manipulation of the food, genetic manipulation of humans is going to result in but craziness?
And I agree with you.
But you don't have to. I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. You know, we talked on the show. We didn't talk about mind control. We didn't talk about, you know, GMOs. We didn't talk about vaccines not really being vaccines. So when you put all that in context, yeah. But that's, I wanted to bring this to the attention of you know, because some people, like Joe said, nah, I don't think so. You know, or it's a remote, you know, a once or twice thing. But as you can see, this is going on all across the world. And
you know what?
Yes,
this
go ahead.
This manipulation of our genetics and the food and the air and the water has been going on for years, decades, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have an epidemic cancer in young children. You know.
I agree. I'm with you on that one. You get no argument out of me with that. None at all.
You know what's going to be the worst part? Eventually, I know, and I'm going to predict this, if it hasn't happened, already has happened.
Mm-hmm.
If people have married their pets, that means some minister, some justice of the peace, some legal official, some religious official has sanctioned the marriage and allowed it to go through. And people will eventually, the population I'm talking about, I don't know about the population at large, but certain portions of the population, more than we would expect, would approve of this kind of union. I guarantee you.
Yeah. You know what, India? You know what, Joe? I hadn't really looked at it right like that, but you're right. You are absolutely right. Hmm.
Because it is going to be part of mind control. All you got to do is have a TV show where a man and his German Shepherd may or may not be lovers, but the German Shepherd is such a beautiful, trustworthy dog that the man wants to marry the dog, probably at first to keep it from being killed for whatever particular reason, and then from then on the slippery slope will commence. And there will be people watching a program like that who will say, why not? Why shouldn't a woman marry her freaking goldfish? Why shouldn't a man marry his dog? Why shouldn't a boy grow up to have dreams about having a German Shepherd he can fall in love with? I guarantee it.
Yeah. I'm with you, Joe. I'm with you on that one.
And I bet it starts in California.
Where is it? Why California?
Because California, they got the wackiest people living in Burbank, Hollywood. They're the ones who just believe in anything and everything and want to be the trendsetters. Bet you it's in California.
Okay. <Ooh. clears throat> Well, you know, some people just feel that way about their pets. I guess
I can understand loving your pet, but what good does it do to marry your pet? The pet doesn't know any different from the time the pet is married as a husband or wife or whatever the terminology is going to be than it did prior to the marriage. What's the benefit to the pet? What's the benefit to the goddamn idiot who's marrying the pet?
Well, maybe when they leave the pet, all their money and possessions won't know about the argument because they'd be considered the spouse. But it's not lawful nowhere, so I don't know how that would even work.
But the pet would, maybe it's a tax dodge or something, but what does it benefit the freaking pet? The pet doesn't give a rat's ass if the master is living in a cave or is living in a mansion.
Well, you got a point. I mean, you know, you never know. Joe, let's be honest. We don't know what goes through people's minds when stuff like this come up, and you know it. So it's like, okay, you know, and believe it or not, somewhere, and I probably say soon, that's going to come up for like the gay rights thing, the gay marriage. It's going to come up. Watch. somebody going to try and push you through. And it's going to be interesting to see. And you'll be surprised at how much support that would get. Now, let's say, I mean, let's be realistic, Joe. There are some people out there care more about their pets than they do a human life.
Yeah, like I say, I can understand people falling in love with their pets because, I mean, people have actually rushed inside burning buildings in order to save a freaking cat. Yeah, you know, pets, they don't give you any problems. You know, once a cat or a pet, not a cat, a cat doesn't do that. Once a dog loves you, you know. And some people risk their lives for a dog, and I can understand that. But to marry the dog in a formal setting, to invite people to come to the wedding, and to put this animal on the same level as a human being in terms of legal rights, that to me is insanity.
Yes, I agree. Insanity. You
insanity.
Are absolutely right. Yes.
To a T.
All right. Time for us to move on from the insanity now.
Okay.
Y'all know, I'm just letting y'all know that was out there. Okay? That was out there. Here's the next one. Man arrested for drinking iced tea in public being bullied to accept plea deal. All right. A North Carolina man who was arrested last year by a Plains Coast officer for drinking iced tea in a parking lot is being strong-armed into taking a plea deal that he is reluctant to accept. I ain't going to call him name. Mr. Beatty was arrested after a plainclothes officer spotted him drinking iced tea in a state-owned liquor store parking lot last year. Even though it turned out that Beatty was only drinking iced tea and not alcohol, he was still taken into custody and arrested on charges of trespassing and resisting a public order. Now prosecutors are pressuring him to take a plea deal, which includes probation and community service. What do you think about that?
You know, the way that these people write these articles and their headlines, they usually don't tell the whole story. They write the headlines in a way so as to stimulate your brain to think of one thing when they're actually leaving out important parts of the story. I know this story. There's a YouTube video up on this. What happened was, if this is the same story, there was a couple of guys in the parking lot of some brand name chain store, and the security guard, no, it wasn't a security guard, it was an undercover cop, I think it was, who came out, had no badge, and said, "What are you drinking? Let me see what you're drinking." And the guy says, "It's iced tea." He says, "Let me taste it. Let me see what you're drinking." And the guy says, "I don't know who you are. I'm drinking my iced tea."
I don't blame him. Can you blame
him? Right, and they have the video of how he was taken down to the ground by refusing to show this guy, who didn't have any identification, what he was drinking. So they're not telling the whole story. So they're making it seem like the guy is only drinking iced tea, and the cop is a nut job for just going out there and insisting, "You can't drink iced tea." No, the cop went out there thinking that what the guy was drinking was alcohol. But the guy was within his rights not to show some stranger who came up to him what he was drinking.
Right.
So there's a dispute between those particular elements. And they're not including that in the story. So, you know, that's the bad thing about so-called American journalism.
But Joe, even that scenario right there, you know, why am I going to take a plea deal that's going to give me probation and community service, which means now I'm all in the system? You know what I mean?
Can you comment on that, Eric?
Yes, Sister Ngoni, if you like.
But first, I want to ask a question. Do you know what they charged him with? A resisting arrest or up charge like that? I saw that video, by the way, Joe.
Yeah,
it was pitiful.
Yeah. They
the way they
dogged
him. Wasn't he a veteran, too, or something like that?
I don't know. But they dragged him down to the ground, and then the guy called the for backup, and I think they charged him for drinking alcohol on the premises. But the guy...
They charged him for trespassing and resisting a public order.
Yeah, they had to come up with some chumped-up charges.
Right.
But see, the reason why they're trying to force him to plea bargain, as I understand it, before I get jumped on again, okay, as I read and understand it, the reason they're trying to force him to plea bargain is because, first of all, the court don't have jurisdiction. Everything they do to you, you have to consent to it. They're trying to do a joinder under his straw man. So they have to force you to plea bargain. They give you three choices, plead guilty, not guilty, or no contest. Well, if you plead at all, then you just put yourself in their jurisdiction because the courts, quote, are basically, it's really a bank, and the judge is an administrator who is administrating the bankruptcy of the United States Corporation. So it's all about bonds, CUSIP numbers, and trading those bonds that they write, performance bonds, bid bonds, all kind of bonds, and then they trade them and sell them on the world stock market. It's all about them Federal Reserve notes. That's what it's about. But they don't have jurisdiction unless you consent to it. Now, they do have guns, so they have their methods. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But legally and lawfully, they don't have jurisdiction because we've been under military occupation since 1861. Now, somebody will jump up and call me a liar. Read the LIBER code, L-I-E-B-E-R. It's online for anybody to read, and that is the instructions on how the military is supposed to interact with civilian populations when they're under occupation.
Oh, okay.
And you ought to know something about that, Eric, since you was over in Iraq. Did they have guidelines for you all to follow in your dealings with the civilian citizens when you were stationed in Iraq?
Of course. Yeah.
Exactly. So they have that here in America, too. It's called the LIBER, L-I-E-B-E-R code. It's online for anybody to read.
Mm-hmm. All right,
basically,
place that in
the... Huh? Go ahead.
I was going to say, place that in the chat room so
okay.
They can look it up.
I have to go look. I'll grab it and put it in there.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, here's my take on it, is that they want this guy to plead out so that if he does, then what happens is he is by he's saying that he's kind of guilty, kind of not, and that lets the police off the hook to a certain degree. I
mm-hmm.
think they're probably concerned that if they go to court with the photo evidence, the videos that were taken at the time, they probably lose.
Hmm. Well, because I look at it like this. If he takes that plea bargain, you know, then he, like I said, he's in the system, right?
Right.
So now he's on probation. Just by some chance, he get caught up in something else. Well, okay, we got you because you violated your probation. Now he in the prison system. Bam, they got him again. You know what I mean? So,
oh, yeah, they got
crazy. Yeah.
They'll have him like that if he takes the plea bargain. But they'll also,
right.
if somebody takes a plea bargain, that also is an admission of guilt to a certain degree, which means that the police are somehow not going to be considered guilty of this particular crime, which, you know, they did. They went, you know, I can understand somebody going out at the parking lot if he's in charge of the, you know, of securing the premises and finding out whether or not somebody's drinking alcohol on the premises if it's not allowed for somebody to do that. But the way that he approached the guy, you know, I mean, the guy's within his rights not to show anybody anything if the guy who comes up to him just says, I'm security guard or I'm police. Well, show me ID, okay? Don't just say you're somebody who's with the authorities when you could be a perfect nut job.
Right. You're right.
You know, and then and that's when the fight started because the guy reached for the so-called, I don't know if he was a rent-a-cop or a real cop, but he reached for the guy's T, and, you know, you just don't do that. You don't touch somebody. You don't touch their property. Yeah, go ahead.
Joe, excuse me for interrupting you, but you said that's when the fight started. But as I recall seeing the video, there was no fight. That security officer or police, wherever, attacked that man. He didn't resist him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good correction. Okay. That's when resistance started, or that's when he dragged him down to the ground, like I said before, yeah.
Well, you know, and that's just not right. You
right.
know, and, mm-hmm. and you know, and but believe it or not, if nobody knows the law or what's really going on, you know, they fall right in. They fall right in for it. You know, for the what you call it, they'll fall right into the trap,
mm-hmm.
without a doubt.
And these laws, which are made by our congressmen, who keep getting reelected by even dumber people who call themselves American citizens, they're the ones that control America.
Mm.
They and the lobbyists, and whoever controls the lobbyists, and people just
mm-hmm.
have to wake up and take a look at the cause of all of our problems instead of taking a look at segmented sections of the economy or segmented sections of the population or segmented sections of the law and say, you know, okay, well, we got to fix this, and if we fix this, and everything will be all right. No, the cause of all of our problems, financially, psychologically, because of the laws, is Congress, the federal Congress. And they should be either kicked out, which they won't be, or there should be some sort of independent organization that's honest and ethical to investigate them and put them on trial. And that won't happen either.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to say now, you said a whole lot that's not going to happen like that.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Let me bring Ebony in. We got 7 minutes left in the show, y'all. So if you want to get on the phones, continue to hear live, 347-838-8622. Give me a call. We'll be waiting. Ooh. Hello, Miss Ebony. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
You're doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Well, I just thought it was interesting today to hear that the plane, they're saying here in the UK, that mm-hmm. the plane hasn't actually been found, that they have concluded that the flight, that the people on that flight, the Malaysian flight,
mm-hmm.
that basically, that you know, the ship did crash and it's in the sea. Somewhere in the sea, but they haven't actually located it.
Right.
Did you hear that in the U.S. as well?
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently some company out of your part of the woods, AAIB, an investigative firm, you know, did some recalculations from information they gathered and came up with the scenario that it crashed in a remote part of the Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
So... You know, and with that, the Malaysian officials came out today and says, as far as they're concerned right now, the plane is lost. And the lives on it lost. Huh?
Can somebody explain something to me? What the
what?
Freak is the importance of this freaking plane? Who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah.
How about the family of those on the plane?
Well, I know that. But, I mean, planes do crash, not on a regular basis, but there's at least one or two plane crashes a year throughout the world. Why this particular plane, and why is the United States government so concerned about it, and why is it in the press for the last 7 days?
Because they haven't found it, Joe.
Well, yeah, I know they haven't found it, but why
that's,
this
plane
is
so
disappear? Yeah, that's the biggest thing. They haven't found it.
No. Here's what I'm leading up to. Planes have crashed before. There is
uh-huh.
going to be something as a result of this plane crash that they're going to try to link to terrorism to the United States and Russia. Eventually.
Okay.
So my question is, why, since there has been no connection made yet, why is an ordinary plane crash in the news for 7 days? Yes, they haven't found it, but even Benghazi wasn't in the news for seven or eight days. There's something going on.
As in,
there's going to be some sort of mystery which people are going to try to unravel and make the connection between the United States and Russia and terrorism, the Ukraine and stuff like that. Otherwise, this doesn't warrant more than 2 days' worth of coverage. This is an accident that happened, an unfortunate accident for those on the plane and for the families. But it doesn't warrant 7 days of coverage unless there's something else going on.
Well, Joe, you know, earlier when this first happened, we covered that same scenario here on the show. Just exactly what you said. We felt it was a diversion for what was going on with Russia, United States, and the Ukraine.
Well, no, I
know.
More
going on than what it seems. You know, I think right now, basically, you know, they got to come up with a story as to what happened to the plane now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, to cover whatever is really going on. Because I said it before, there's something going on behind this plane that they haven't told us yet, you know?
That's my
thing. I mean, just thinking, on this plane they had engineers. They had, calligraphers, artists, and, you know, they had, what else? They had all kind of, you know, intelligent folk on there. And, you know, just for this plane to just go, whoop, it's gone, you know. Now, I watched the Langoliers the other night, and it could be the Langoliers could have got them.
Like the who?
The Langoliers.
What are the Langoliers?
It's a Stephen King movie.
Oh.
But, you know, it's about a plane that flew in another dimension, basically flew back to yesterday. Then they had to come back, and basically, nobody knows where this plane at. You know, they keep chasing these objects in the ocean that, you know, never pans out to be anything, which says we have really messed up the ocean. We got that much stuff floating out there in it. But back to what we're saying. Ebony, do you know anything about this group, the AAIB? And they're supposed to be out of London. They're supposed to be very respected. Yeah?
No, I don't. No.
Ebony, are you taking a bath?
No.
Taking a shower?
I had to come out of my meeting to talk to you guys for the minute.
We're
just waiting for the meeting to finish. I'm in the hall.
Oh, okay. Okay. You was going to get Joe excited.
All right, let's not go there, all right? Good.
Well, okay. All right, I ain't going to go there.
Yeah.
But anyway,
don't give her any ammo.
So anyway, you know, that's basically what's going on with the plane now. You know, I think they're more in a recovery mode now than a search and rescue. But the biggest thing is they got to find the dang on plane.
When they find it, there'll be some conspiracy theory popping up surrounding it.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah,
but I think if they find it, there'll be a lot of people who will, you know, be relieved that at least it has been found. It's never happened, apart from years and years ago. You know, we're talking about Glenn Miller time and whatever, but you know, we don't get planes appearing with what we have out here. It's a very unusual thing to happen in our time.
Hmm.
What's unusual?
Greece.
Yeah.
So planes to just disappear out the sky.
Oh, a plane to disappear. Okay.
Yeah.
And basically, that's what happened. You know, that's what happened. But you know what? I also said last week, and H2O told me I was crazy, about another plane actually probably shadowing that plane, you know. And on the Sunday morning talk shows, one guy actually illustrated how that could be done. So it's nothing is out yet. You know what I mean? I mean, because he actually showed how one plane could be high and the other one just off the tail, and it was shattered so much to where the top plane would not be seen, just the bottom plane. So, you know, you can look at all that kind of stuff.
I hear that. Yeah.
Okay. What you're saying is
worrying
that
the families.
Huh?
Families would like, I'm sure the family would like to know where their loved ones are.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but see, once again, you know, you have to, you have to really, you know, it's been almost three weeks now, and these people have been waiting and waiting for something, you know. And even though you mentally prepared yourself, you still aren't prepared when you finally hear, look, the plane is lost. You know what I mean? So that's a painful thing to hear, I'm sure. But, you know, it's still, I don't know.
It's a very painful experience. Yeah, it has to be a very painful experience. The thing is that since it's been in the news for so long, it's not about recovering the plane in order to find some kind of relief for the families. It's about some kind of mystery which they're going to quote-unquote discover and unfold, and it's going to be connected to some sort of geopolitical bullshit.
Well, you know that's to cover themselves then. You know that, right?
I think it's probably going to be pointed in the direction of terrorism, and somehow maybe the Russians downed it, and I think there was something like three Americans on board, and who knows, maybe one of the Americans they'll discover was some sort of diplomat, and as a result, now we need to go to war with Russia, or some kind of bullshit like that.
Yay. Hey, that has been discussed here.
Oh,
we said it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sister Ngoni, where you at?
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're talking about. But ain't that something? You heard what Joe was talking about?
I'm sorry. I was typing.
Oh, okay. about some far-fetched story going to come about where the Russians shot it down and we need to go to war.
Well, you remember I said the other day they need an international incident.
Mm-hmm. See, so
you're
right.
Don't forget Putin chased the international bankers out. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he's in the same spot JFK was in when he got popped.
Hmm.
Yeah, and Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein, that's the same thing. You know, they were saying, "Hey, you know, we're tired. We're going to do our own thing now." And they said, "Oh, no, you're not."
Well, that's the history of the Rothschilds. They support both sides of a war. If you can't pay them back, or if you don't want their influence in your country, you've got hell to pay.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess you got a point. Well, you know, I guess as they turn their attention to something else, you know, it come under the table real easy, like, and everybody be like, "Ah, there it is," you know. Then we get all up in the ball again. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I was just getting ready to say, I have a suggestion for those who turn their attention to something else. With people marrying animals and so forth and so on, we better be paying attention.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's just too much.
Legitimized bestiality. What has America come to?
Not just America. Worldwide.
Yes, worldwide, man. You know, that's just crazy.
And
what?
They don't tell you what's going on in the other parts of the world. We got cannibalism going on in the Congo. We got bubonic plague on the island right outside of West Africa. I'm trying to think of the name of that island. Italy once colonized it. It's right off the coast of Senegal. Man, I can't think of it right now. I mean, there's just crazy stuff going on everywhere.
Well, do you know that in India, and this has been going on for I don't know how long, they revere cows. Everybody knows that. But they worship rats. There's a particular sect of Hinduism that worships rats.
I've seen that, where they sit down in a lotus position and the rats are crawling all over their head and all over them.
Yeah, and they're drinking and they bathe in the milk that these particular priests give them. And they built a temple devoted to the rats, and the rats will drink from the fountain and all this kind of good stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. Also, there's 150,000 farmers a year that's been committing suicide in India for the past, I know of myself, 7 years, because of GMO Monsanto seeds down there. Those people have had to use their land as collateral because they sent people down there to convince them that they would get a better yield. And when they collateralize their land and then their crop goes to some kind of fungus that grows on it, and they lose everything. They've been committing suicide by the hundreds of thousands every year.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. An example, another example, slow kill.
Mm-hmm. You can easily Google that.
Mm-hmm.
That's been going on long years.
Years.
And they did the thing in Ghana, and what's his name? Kofi Annan helped to push the genetically modified seeds on Ghanaian people. And I actually saw when I was in Ghana, I had a garden. I had cabbage, big old nice cabbage. I had pineapple. I had tomatoes and corn. And I had papaya. Did I say papaya already? I don't know. But anyway, they got a fungus. The tomatoes would produce one time, and then the whole plant would go to fungus. Now, keep this in mind. In Africa, because of where it's located close to the equator, there banana trees and plantain trees would yield 3 and 4 times the seeds a year. Now they produce one time and go to fungus. So people wouldn't starve to death. They could always, you know, fry some plantain or something, have something to eat. Not anymore because of the genetically modified seeds. So that's been done deliberately. They have genetically modified watermelon and papayas too. Pineapple and papaya. Because Del Monte did a deal with the businessman I met.
Oh, okay.
Del Monte.
All righty then. Woo! Well, you know, it goes to show it's just not local. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Well, Lyndon LaRouche, a lot of people, you know, frown up when you say that name. But Lyndon LaRouche's EIR at one time was known as one of the most powerful private or civilian intelligence networks in the world, okay? And he has been saying for the past 3 or 4 years, because every month he would have a webcast, and I wouldn't miss it, he's been explaining that if the things keep going the way they're going, we're going back to a new dark age, and that's the same thing Karen Huda said in the video that I listened to today. And I know just because somebody says it doesn't make it so. However, these people are very well-learned people that have influence in the world, you know what I'm saying? And they have more insight into what's going on. I put the link in the chat room for anybody who cares to listen to Karen Huda. I recommend you do.
Which brings up something which is even going to be crazier.
I've had
this particular theory of mine for a while now. Because of the pollution that's going on our planet, because of the GMOs, because of the seemingly planned extinction of the people on the planet, of which the people who are committing this particular type of global travesty cannot escape themselves, I'm thinking, is this something legitimate about the claims of David Icke that reptilian aliens are in the form of humans and they have a bloodline which is trying to control the Earth, leading up to the destruction of the planet and its atmosphere in order to make it more suitable for reptiles?
That sounds reasonable to me. They're re-terraforming the planet for somebody else's convenience. It sure is not for human beings, that's for sure.
Well, you know, Wesley says that they're here already. You know, Wesley says they're
here.
Yeah. So, I mean, that means yes, Joe.
Well, it's just a theory.
Well, it's a good one, in my opinion, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah. That it is.
Because otherwise,
all right, go ahead, Joe.
End the show? Okay.
Go ahead.
But on a positive note, Joe, were you getting ready to speak?
Yeah,
well,
Joe's about to say
me. Yeah, I was just going to say that. To me, the theory does sound kind of wacky, but then logically, if you're going to trace the progress of what's been happening as a result of these particular people, if you believe these people exist, if you believe they have the kind of influence, then why would they do it if they can't survive? And their grandchildren can't survive the planet as it's going to be in the next 100 years. So,
Joe, they don't eat the same food we eat. They have access to medicines that we don't have access to. They have access to medical care procedures that are probably 150 years ahead of anything we've ever heard about. Oh, don't think they don't have their ways. And don't forget, they have their underground tunnels that's been documented that they've taken years to build under all these nations in the world. So, you know, they're not like us. Don't compare them to us. They're way ahead of us. And they now, with this transhumanism, their goal is to put their consciousness in machines and live forever. They have deified themselves. They think they're demigods.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's another natural conclusion.
They're writing about. All you got to do, if you think I'm crazy, is go listen to that man they just put in the head of Google. His name is Ray Kurzweil. You can just feel the wickedness oozing off the screen when you listen to him talk.
Yeah, he's a futurist. I know.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, that's the natural conclusion. If not for the terraforming of the planet, as Angonius talked about, but also when you take a look at the dictators in history, they want to conquer the world. Now, Caligula, Nero, Caesar, I think all three of those particular dictators, they all proclaimed that their major endgame was to become like a god. What particular dictator, especially if you're going to have plans to control the world, if you're that much of a megalomaniac, then the natural conclusion then is I'm going to control the world and I want to be a god. Now, how are you going to do that? By combining your human biology with technology to become an invincible android. Seems natural to me. Transhumanism. Yep.
But on the positive thought, every time that someone has tried to do that, it has failed. But unfortunately, millions upon millions have suffered. But I don't know if this is true or not. Some people say that life is you can't kill it. It just transformed. I don't know whether it is or not, but perhaps, we keep having this same thing happening over and over again because this is not new. It's just that they've come back with technology that some people say they had during Atlantis, which some people think that's just a myth. But there are some people that's myths in ancient times that say, no, those weren't myths. Those were warnings. We've been here before.
Okay, if those are warnings, we sure haven't learned anything, have we?
Well, I don't look like.
Well, all right, y'all, we're going to get up out of here. It's 4:15. I think I done talked, though. I can talk today. But we're going to let y'all get your last words. So go ahead, Ebony, you first.
Okay, just want to say, good to connect with the show as always. Maybe I should tell people I'm not on Tuesday tomorrow, Joe. I'm actually going to be on Wednesday. So if you don't mind, Mr. Talk, can I just give a little plug? Just
sure
say
you can.
I've got a writer on Wednesday with me, Mr. Lucario, and he's written a book, You're the Reason Why You're Single. So we're going to be talking about that book and some of the other books he's written on Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern. So I'd be glad, really excited if all of you would join me then who are listening. But we won't be on tomorrow night as I'm on the red carpet in Leicester Square interviewing some people for a film that's coming out tomorrow in the UK. And don't ask me the name of the film because no one's told me yet. But I've been invited to interview some people on the red carpet. So it's going to be my first time ever, and I'm looking forward to it. So
put it up on YouTube.
Good night. Yeah, it will be up on YouTube. You'll see it. I'll put the video up. So it should be fun.
All right. All righty. Thank you, Miss Ebony.
That's okay.
All right. Have a good one. Good night. All right, Mr. Joe.
Well, I've said all I had to say for the show, so... I'm talked out. So, see you all when I see you.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Co-host, what you got for me?
Oh, I want to say good night. I see most people are gone anyway. So, you have a nice evening.
All right. You
and,
too.
Okay.
And,
we're
going to
be all right.
Yeah,
we're going to
get
through this like we always do.
Yeah, we will.
Some kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You have a good one.
You too.
All right, y'all, another interesting show here on Let's Talk. Hey, it's been fun, but I got to run. So remember, keep smiling, show appreciation if you give with an open heart. But most importantly, learn to laugh at yourself. If you learn to laugh at yourself, then you know what? Nothing can bother you. All right? So until tomorrow, we'll be talking, what are we talking tomorrow? Oh, yeah, birth certificates and Social Security cards. Y'all going to want to catch this show. It's going to be very informative. But anyway, until tomorrow, man, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain, this has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio for me and my host, my co-host, Sister Ngoni. Y'all have a good one. We out.
Bye-bye.